Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Tuesday, April the 9th, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're at stevejonesshow.com. We're also on Facebook. Give us a like. We're on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And our email address, you can contact us at stevejones@wkok.com. It's our email. And Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in a couple of moments. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere, thanks to our podcast. So on your Apple Podcast app, iTunes, or Google Play, you can search Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe. And after the shows air live here on WKOK, we can drop them right to your mobile device so you can access them anytime you'd like. And also at stevejonesshow.com, 3 months of shows. We've got them archived on the podcast page. So we hope to talk later this afternoon with Dick Hoops Weiss. Hoops was in Minneapolis last night for the national championship game at Virginia over Texas Tech in overtime. And also, we hope to have some NFL draft conversation as well with our friend of the show, Neil Coulong, senior editor of the NFL Wire Network. With you live till 5, then we'll have the late-day news roundup. Taylor Schultz at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then we'll have Phillies baseball tonight from Citizens Bank Park, game 2 of the 3-game set between the Phillies and the Washington Nationals. Last night, the Phillies getting a great win, 4-3, thanks to 2 home runs by Reese Hoskins. He's now had 3 homers in the last 2 games. Primo pitching matchup tonight, Aaron Nola versus Steven Strasburg. We'll have on deck at 6:30, and then we'll have for you the play-by-play at 7:05 tonight with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. So great matchup last night in hoops from Minneapolis. So how about this? Last 3 games of the tournament, of course, Virginia won all 3 of them. In the Elite 8, with 5 seconds left in that game, Purdue was leading Virginia 70-67. And then in the final 4, with 17 seconds left, Auburn was up 4 over Virginia, 61-57. And then last night, 12 seconds left in regulation, Texas Tech was up by 3, 68-65. Cavaliers, wow, what a great run. What a phenomenal run. After exiting the court last year against a number 16 seed. So last night they take the crown. Virginia's Ty Jerome after the game said, "Forget last year. This is everything you dream of since you're a kid." And this was the first time in 40 years between men's teams that had never been there before. The last one was the showdown in the late 70s with Magic Johnson's Michigan State team beating the Hick from French Lick, Larry Bird, in Indiana State. That game was in Salt Lake City. And also last night was the first overtime game in the national championship game since 2008. So we were concerned it was going to be a very, very, very low-scoring game, and that did not happen. So it definitely did get off to a slow start last night with points at a premium, with the defenses, pulverizing defenses is for sure. But both teams were able to get it rolling and got a nice cap-off to the national basketball tournament. Look forward to next year already. By the way, we do have a college basketball note to tell you. I got a coaching announcement 100 days after UCLA fired Steve Alford, the Bruins finally have a new head coach, Mick Cronin, who led Cincinnati to 9 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. He has agreed to a 6-year, $24 million deal with UCLA, announced earlier today. Cronin heads to California after 13 years at Cincinnati. He has won at least 20 games in each of the past 9 seasons. 89-18 record over the past 3 seasons with Cincinnati. He is a native of that city, one of 6 coaches to lead his team to the NCAA tournament in each of the past 9 seasons, along with Mark Few, Tom Izzo, Mike Krzyzewski, Bill Self, and Roy Williams. Only once did Cronin advance past the first weekend of the tournament. That was back in 2012.
What's our story about Mick here?
Leaving Cincinnati and going to UCLA. A 6-year, $24 million deal.
About as down-to-earth common sense a guy as I've met. Mick's an easy guy to like. UCLA is a very tough job, though. Very tough job. But it's, I don't know how UCLA is going to, UCLA fans are going to feel about the style of basketball. Mick is in that category of, I'm talking style now. Coaches have to put together a style that fits their personnel. And Mick wants to play heavy, heavy, heavy defense as much as he can. That's, and it's worked for him. As for a UCLA basketball fan, how excited will they be by that? I don't know. But that's what he wants to do. But as a guy, he's a great guy to be around. You have to give UCLA credit. Up until this moment, they really have thoroughly botched this thing. Remember, they fired Steve Alford in 2018. And we're going to go for John Calipari. No. We're going to go for Jamie Dixon. What do you mean there's an $8 million buyout? No. We're going to go for Rick Barnes. No.
Yeah, today marks 100 days on the nose when Alford was let go. But yeah, there's definitely, there's always been a mystique there. Always will be, of course, with John Wooden and what he was able to accomplish and what they have there at Pauley Pavilion. All they raise up there is championship banners, and that's it.
Yeah, they haven't raised, they've raised one.
Quite a while.
In the last 44 years.
Yes, what the last time they got really deep into the tournament was what,
Ben Howland.
Yeah.
He went to the Final Four 3 straight years. And it wasn't good enough. See, this is what I think universities make. They get wide-eyed and forget who they are. And one of the great... I'll give you, I just mentioned Jamie Dixon's name. Well, you know, the problem was at Pitt. Well, you can't get us past the Sweet 16. Well, how would you like to be in the Sweet 16 now, Pitt fans? Would you enjoy that? How would you enjoy being in the Sweet 16? You can't get us past the Sweet 16. We're dissatisfied. Really, you are, huh? Ben Howland. He can only get us to the Final Four. We're not winning the championship. Are you nuts? Are you not? You went 3 straight years. That's not good enough for you? You wonder about the decision-making of some of these people sometimes. You sit back and you hear lame reasons why they make moves. Something wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing when I started to follow Premier League English soccer, and just just the turnover there. I mean, you have coaches that only maybe sign 2-3 year deals, and you've got teams with ownership that are very finicky and very picky, and they don't take long to sack coaches, and players move all over the place. But yeah, you don't have a lot of tenure just because of the huge pressure to win and win immediately.
But these guys look at it and go, you have the Final Four 3 years in a row, but we didn't win the championship.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're in the Final Four, so the opportunity is there to win.
If you've been in rebuild mode for quite some time, and if you need to lay the groundwork with a new coach and a new program, and if you lock in a Final Four for 3 years in a row, that's phenomenal. I mean, I would think that would that benefits your recruiting for sure. That adds a notch to the staff's resume, coach's resume.
There are too many people out there that don't understand who they are. And then they make a move. And then after they make the move, to their credit, they do eventually find out who they are. We actually had it pretty good here at one point. I mean, in the last 15 years... You know how many times Mike Krzyzewski has been to the Final Four?
I'm thinking, how many years? 15, you said? 15 years? I'm thinking at least, twice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Twice. And they won both times. But twice.
Yeah, and look at this year, you know, with the face of college basketball, Zion Williamson. I mean, they literally had to escape two games to get as far as they did.
And Mike's an awesome coach. That just tells you how hard it is to do. It tells you how hard it is to do. For some reason, let's take Alabama in football. In the last 10 years, they've given the appearance that it's an easy thing to do. When it is 180 of that, it is an incredibly difficult thing to do, what they've been doing. Really difficult. And everyone loses sight, and this is nobody's fault. I'm going to bring up ESPN, but this is not ESPN's fault at all. You could fault ESPN for many things, but it's not this. ESPN, of course, on SportsCenter, does what? They show highlights. Usually highlights are the most spectacular plays. So when you get fed a steady diet of outfielder diving, making great catch, home run being driven to upper deck, 360 slam dunk, behind the back pass, all right, Patrick Mahomes switching hands and throwing and completing a pass left-handed or throwing it sidearm. All right. Sidney Crosby scoring a goal by passing the puck between his own legs and then firing. All right. It gets to the point where I think the fan or ownership, who are also fans, start to think that these things are easy. And they aren't easy. Or UCLA basketball. Yeah, you have one national championship in 44 years. I got it. I know exactly who you are. Yeah, you won 10 out of 12. But the Pirates last won the World Series in 1979. John Wooden won his last national championship in 1975. Jim Herrick won one, but 96. That's been it. You can hang all the banners you want, but the last 44 years, you have not been steamrolling your way through the tournament. Well, Mick Cronin will now get a shot. By the way, do I think it's a good hire? I think Mick Cronin's a really good hire. Really, he's a pro's pro. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Probably should have checked my email earlier. I got 32 of them. Let's see. Can you get me the tickets to the Phillies?
That was not for me, by the way.
Kevin? Can you get me tickets to see the Sixers from SL, a.k.a. Suit Light? Can you give me tickets to see the Flyers playoff game? Just kidding. I should have checked earlier. The weather for Saturday, by the way, for the Blue-White game, looks great. How about that?
A little chilly the past couple of years.
It's going to be 67, 68 degrees on Saturday. Okay. Now the Penn State whiteout T-shirt's been revealed.
Yep. Be able to buy that Saturday if you're going to the game.
Evidently. I guess it's white. All right. So
keep it consistent. Yes.
Like, where did we find this guy?
Stick with
the way. Great. I have text messages. Well, some are from you.
Yeah, a couple from this morning. We'll follow up during the break.
You're stupid. What is
no.
that? Why do you start that way?
No.
Why do you start
that's
with
not,
that?
That's not mine.
Ron Sirach, former senior writer, Golf Digest. So we're going to talk about the Masters.
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow.
That this week? No.
Yes.
I know you want me to talk to Amy Dash. I have no time.
Okay.
And here's the reason why I have to tape a TV show tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay. Tailgate Blue White Edition?
Yes.
Great.
Then I have to tape something else for TV on Thursday. Friday, I don't know. Maybe.
No worries. Topics we were going to talk about with her, we can.
My schedule this week is, let's see, I've taped TV show tomorrow. There's practice tomorrow night. Thursday, I have to do something else for another TV thing. But then I have the talk show at Permanente Brothers, and James Franklin and Carolyn will both be there, the new women's basketball coach.
Yep, we'll have that for you here Thursday night, 6:05, WKOK. Yep.
Friday, I have the basketball banquet. By the way, also Thursday on our show, Patrick Chambers is going to be on the show. Yeah. So we got Carolyn, Patrick, and James all on Thursday at one point or another. And then we might get Sandy Barber on Friday.
Will Todd Sadowski and J-Pa be with you for the TV show?
Yes, they will.
Terrific.
Yes.
Great.
It's too bad about the timing in some ways, because Todd Sadowski is one of the greatest guys on the planet to begin with. But I really enjoy playing a round of golf with him.
By the way, we did have people back in the fall ask about blue-white tailgate. So if you don't get WHVL TV on your TV or your cable system, you can follow them on YouTube. Just type in blue-white tailgate WHVL, and then before Saturday's blue-white game, you'll be able to watch the TV show we're talking about. Probably your best bet.
Yeah, they sent me the format. I still haven't looked at it yet. I'll get there at some point.
Over coffee tomorrow morning.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm very pleased to be joined by really one of my all-time favorite people. And that is Dick Weiss. Hoops, I hope you are well. It is so great to have you with us.
Hey, listen, it's good talking to you. How you been?
I've been doing really well. How about you? You feeling well?
I'm feeling pretty good after watching last night's game. I mean, it was a pretty dramatic ending. I mean, but then again, Virginia's played a series of dramatic endings throughout the storm. I mean, it was unbelievable that just 389 days ago they were eliminated by UMBC in the first round of the tournament. Now they go from losing to a 16 seed to winning the whole thing.
Absolutely. I felt in the evolution of Virginia basketball, and I want to see how you feel about this. Tony still plays, and these are the concepts he picked up from his dad, Dick, about how he plays defense, but now he has a better offensive team to help pull off bigger games. Is that fair?
I think he has guys who can score from the three, and he has a legitimate scoring forward in DeAndre Hunter. I mean, last year I felt they couldn't score more than 70 in a given game. This year they win with 85 in overtime. It's a very efficient team. But it's also a team that was playing with firecrackers for the last three games and could have got burnt in any one of those games. But this is a team that's been through the wars before. They know how bad. I mean, they embraced the whole thing with UMBC, but it still had to be hard on them. They lost by 20 in that game. They were 20-point favorites. This team is much better offensively. Kyle Guy was a McDonald's All-American. DeAndre Hunter was one of those kids from Friends Central who just shows up on a college campus and becomes a great player. They've had a series of great players there, beginning with Akeem Warwick, and this kid is just the latest. He probably made a lot of money last night in the second half when he scored 22 of his 27 points. And he drained two huge threes in that game, Steve. And I think that's what Virginia does this year. They can make the big shots. Last year, I thought when they fell behind at times because they were so used to shutting teams down, when they fell behind at times, they panicked. They panicked against UMBC last year. I mean, no one – and the basket got smaller this year. I mean, Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter could all score on a consistent basis.
Obviously, they skirted near the line several times during the course of the tournament. But to me, Dick, I thought one of the biggest moments for them
was overcoming a 14-point deficit to Gardner-Webb when the world is saying, uh-oh, here we go again.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, everybody lived with the flame out. I was at the game, last game of the night in Charlotte. No one saw this one coming. Now they open with Gardner-Webb, who is making his first appearance in the tournament, and they're down 30 to 16, and people are starting to say, oh my God, can this happen again? Now, they open the second half, 25-5 run, and put them away, but that happened in the first half. The game with Purdue, I think that the defining play of their tournament run occurred in the last seconds of regulation when Clark chased down the missed free throw and got the ball to Diakite for the shot at the buzzer in regulation to send it to overtime. Or we might have been looking at Purdue in the Final Four along with Michigan State. And then the Big Ten probably could have made a legitimate claim that they were the best league in the conference, top to bottom.
Exactly. Now I want to flip it to the other side, to Texas Tech.
Yes.
Now you're getting a chance to know a little bit more about Chris Beard as time goes and time goes, because being on the national stage, you at least get more exposure to him. What do you think of him?
I think he is a true Bob Knight disciple, and coached with him for 7 years at Texas Tech. You see the same defensive principles. I mean, they use a lot of hands. They really take away the middle. I think that he runs great practice sessions. I thought that they got the most out of the players, given the fact that none of them were top 100 players, and three of them were fifth-year seniors. I mean, Matt Moody was at South Dakota. Tariq Owens was a shot blocker, but just an okay player at St. John's.
Yeah.
I mean, so you had players like that who came in and played big roles for this team. It was much more of a team effort. Virginia relied on its top three players for most of the game last night. But listen, Texas Tech was still in the game, and Jarrett Culver, their best player, shot 5 for 22.
Right. Yeah, and he's a guy that a lot of people think is an NBA guy. Owens, I saw him play. I did a game in the Garden, Penn State, St. John's, a couple of years ago, and Owens played in the game. You know, so, I mean, it goes back with that far with him. What's the state of the game right now, in your opinion, Hoops?
What's that?
What's the state of the game right now, in your opinion?
I worry about it. I worry about it a lot. I think that there is a lot of cheating going on at a lot of programs. I think there are a lot of parents with their hands out. I think that this is the tip of the iceberg, and I think that there's a good possibility we will find out a lot in that third trial in New York if the two coaches who have been subpoenaed, Will Wade and Sean Miller, actually have to testify under oath. I also think that the Michael Avenatti accusations about Duke, I mean, are bombshells, if anything is true. I think that it's sad when you can count the amount of coaches in the game who don't cheat as opposed to the amount of coaches who might cut corners. I am very concerned about it. I hope they can clean it up. I think they're trying to clean it up by taking the game away from a travel ball atmosphere, because they are so concerned about the influence of shoe companies, about agents, and about travel coaches who want to direct players to a specific school for money.
I'm concerned about it as well. Very concerned. I think when the trial starts April 22nd, I'm concerned about how many bombshells that we're going to hear.
Yeah, even though
I won't consider the bombshells,
know.
I think the public will.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I think when the feds conducted this investigation, they did not tell the NCAA about it
right
until it was pretty much over because they didn't want any interference. And I think that there is some concern that there are a lot of big programs that can be cash cows who might be involved in one way or another. And I don't think the feds wanted to be wanted to have any sort of interference. I mean, it cost one Hall of Fame coach his job. Who knows how many more coaches might be involved in this? I can't even think about it right now. I love the games, and I will always love the games, but I don't want to see the sport get dragged through the mud when it doesn't have to be.
I agree with you on that because I'm with you.
I
love the games.
What scares me is maybe the genie's out of the bottle. We can't put it back.
The strategy, the athleticism, that's what lured you and me to the game, not the answer.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree, Steve. Look, the game is evolving, and if you don't evolve with it, you have a problem. I thought it was great this year that you had three teams in the Final Four that aren't regulars, and you had a lot of active Hall of Fame coaches who weren't there. I mean, if you look at the long-term picture, Duke, in the last 9 years, Duke's been there once. Right. Now, Kentucky's been there four times, but they have won national championship to show for it. I mean, I was with Bruce Pearl after one of the practice sessions before they played in the semifinals. He says, normally you have 6 to 8 or 8 to 10 teams that could win an NCAA tournament. This year you might have had 25. And I think it's why the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 games were so competitive and so dramatic, right? Because you have an awful lot of parity there. I mean, it was hard to get. It was as hard to get to the Final Four as it was to win the Final Four.
Exactly right. The path became more difficult because there's more talent spread out. The NBA determines eligibility. In other words, if they want to say an 18-year-old can go straight out of high school, the Players Association and the owners, of course, will sit down and negotiate as part of the collective bargaining agreement. Idealistically, should the NCAA have a seat at that table to talk with them about it or not?
I don't think that it would do any good because I think the NBA Players Association has the final say on players entering their league. I mean, look, by 22, I expect the world to change, and I expect high school kids to be invited to apply to the league. But if you take a look at history, the last time that was allowed to happen was 2005. There were 9 players who were drafted right out of high school. Only one of them made it an all-star team. And so it doesn't necessarily guarantee you success. And frankly, I think, if players stay in college, they have a much better chance of marketing themselves than if they go right out of high school and they don't make an NBA roster full time and end up playing in the G League for far less money. I mean, if they sign a 50-50 contract or they aren't drafted in the top 30 players. I mean, you roll the dice and you lose your eligibility. I mean, and I'm not sure if you've taken money from an agent or if you've taken money from a professional team that you should be allowed to go back and play college basketball. I do think this probably will clean up some of the mess. I'm not even sure whether it will affect the way people view the game. I think people look at the front of the jerseys in college the way they look at the back of the jerseys in the NBA. And I think that come March, they will watch the tournament because it's an American phenomenon. It's a cultural phenomenon. Now, a lot of people bet on office pools, but a lot of people watch the games too. I mean, everybody seems to know every player for a month, and then they go back in hibernation. The sad part for me is the fact that a lot of coaches these days are being judged on a pass-fail basis as to whether they make the tournament or don't make the tournament.
Right. I agree. Everything you just said, I absolutely agree with. There's no disagreement on any of that. I will say
That's
this,
scary.
Though, about the one... I know. On the one and done, though, is Zion Williamson had said, look, I don't want to play college basketball, and had opted for Europe or China for a year like Emmanuel Mudiay did going to China. He wouldn't be coming out of Duke with...
No possibility
of immediate riches because he had the front of the jersey that said Duke and people watched him.
I totally agree. Look, it's instant marketing for the kid as well as the school. And frankly, when Zion Williamson went to signed with Duke last year, the best prospect in the country was supposedly R.J. Barrett. Well, we watched them both play this year, and as good as Barrett is, and the fact he probably will be a top five pick, I don't think there was any question who was the best player in the country at his position. And in my mind, the second best player was Ja Morant from Murray State.
Yeah,
because
that's how I voted.
He's a great point guard. But Williamson is a phenomenon. I guarantee he will sign a $100 million sneaker contract when he signs his pro contract. And if you're Nike, don't you have to try to sign him and build a shoe that's indestructible so you can say that he won't break out of this one?
Right, exactly. So the same thing. I voted Williamson 1, Ja Morant 2 on my wooden ballot. And you're right. If you're Nike, the pressure is on
that,
you.
That, it sounds like
him.
You did exactly what I did.
See, this has been a crazy one. We're agreeing on everything. We always agree on everything in the past anyway. So. Yeah, we are. We are. What an absolute pleasure to have you with us. I mean, really,
I
can't
begin
to tell
you
how much I enjoyed the last few minutes with you.
It's my pleasure, Steve.
The great Hoops Weiss, and I mean great. I mean, what he has meant to this game, what he's meant to the coverage of the game, the fair, intelligent, even-handed way with which he has covered the game, is an example for all young people who want to get into the profession. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
McCutchen drives one high and deep, right center field, and he's rung the bell, Larry.
He has rung the bell.
Opposite field home run for Andrew McCutchen. How about that?
Nothing like getting your bell rung.
Phillies baseball on WKOK is sponsored by APW, Troutman's Meat Market, Shade Mountain Winery, and Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. I want to straighten something out very quickly here. Lamar Stevens has put his name in to get opinions on the NBA. He is not foregoing his senior season to enter the NBA draft. Right? He's going to go through the process, and then he'll make up his mind as to whether or not he should keep his name in or not. And this is exploratory on his part. This is really smart on his part. And the same thing with Mike Watkins. Mike Watkins is also going to explore this as well. You are allowed to have an advisor, which gives you the opportunity. And the advisor is the one that will help set up individual workouts for you and so forth. Can you get yourself to the combine in Chicago? We'll see about that. But Lamar Stevens did not turn pro today. He put his name into the NBA draft system, as did Mike Watkins. Now he'll go through the system, and I'm trying to think. I believe it's late May where
that you have to make up your mind. I'm trying to think what the date is. It might be like May 24th, 25th, something like that, where you have to finally say yes or no as to whether you keep your name in or not. That's what he's doing. You're allowed to get an advisor agent to help you through this while maintaining your eligibility. As long as no money changes hands, you can do this. And it is his way of getting the evaluation where they may say to him, hey, look, you might be here. Because remember, the NBA people are professional evaluators. Hey, their reputation is not to blow smoke. Their reputation is to sit there and say, hey, look, you're probably going to be a free agent. Hey, you're going to be a late first rounder. Hey, you're going to probably be a mid-second round pick. That's their job. They're not, the NBA does not recruit you. Hey, come on to the Hornets. The Hornets want you. You'll be great. Be a Hornet. We'll sign you. No, that's not how it goes. So he's putting his name in. And here is for him, Lamar Stevens, the worst case scenario, and for Mike Watkins, the worst case scenario for each. As they go through, they find out they're probably free agents, but yet they get evaluated by professional NBA evaluators that tell them, okay, you need to work on this part of your game, you need to work on that part of your game, and this is how you can go about doing it. That is the worst case scenario you get as a player. So, once again, when it comes to basketball, it is so difficult always having to explain stuff to people all the time. Well, I guess that's part of my job, is I have to explain how the system works, right? He put his name into the NBA system, as did Mike Watkins. Each will now go through it, and then in May, each will make up their mind as to whether to keep their name in, which means they are gone, or to return to school. This is a process that's going to take 4 or 5 weeks. And as you know on this show, Sean, how many times have I said in the past 4 weeks that Lamar should do this? How many times have I said it?
To me, quite a bit, yes.
I've said on the air how many times.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.